They compete hard on the field and play to win.
But in real life, they have a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field with Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Phil Mosher on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton, and Pastor Phil Mosher is back with
He's
us
back.
This week while Kyle is on vacation. And you hear my throat? I'm a little sore. Doug, I was almost gonna have you pinch hitting, and I'm running late, and I don't know if I'm gonna get here on time. I had Eagles day after to cover, and then the Phillies drop a managerial hire on me, and meanwhile I had participated in the NRG charity game today down at the Eagles practice bubble, right indoors. You know, it's like 40 or 50 degrees today, blustering winds, and thank goodness we were inside on that practice
little
bubble.
Flag football action, huh?
Little flag football, and guess who won the championship?
Let's see. There's a lot of media that were there. Let me guess, if you're talking about it, probably your team.
Yes.
All right.
And our producer, Ryan Lennox, was there helping me. He was helping, you remember Willie T, William Thomas, Eagles linebacker in the 90s.
51,
number 51. He was our coach, and man, he was in it. He was getting on me. He was calling plays. So I quarterbacked the first game, and this is a 25-minute running clock. We go overtime, right? We go overtime, scoreless tie. And I throw a little like 3-yard pass to Bex, on-air personality Rebecca. She catches it and runs it in for a touchdown to send us to the championship. It was so much fun. Then we did the Eagles celebration, the touchdown celebration.
That's getting more popular now.
Yeah.
So, hey, the biggest question is, how you feeling?
I'm all right.
We didn't get hurt. Didn't pull anything.
Nah, a little toe stub. But I'm already banged up. You won't let me lift weights. My left elbow is so shot. I don't know what I can do.
That's true. You are. But no other new injuries, right?
Nah,
like no Achilles. No hammies.
Now here's what I did in the championship game. Right. So Zach, who ends up being the MVP, tremendous athlete. We switched off. I quarterbacked a couple plays. He quarterbacked right after I got sacked. And then
protection broke.
So then I go out to play wide receiver, and I was like the Randy Moss decoy. I'm running like these little routes that is just taking their best defender out, and he's just finding everybody else open, and we're dinking.
So you took one for the team. That's what you're saying,
yeah,
right?
You know, but I made sure I didn't get hurt.
Ryan, chime in here. Is that what you were seeing today, or
Randy Moss? Rob was running like Randy Jackson. they did play good, though. I didn't know what to anticipate. Flag football. I was like, oh, it's probably, you know, like two-hand touch. It got pretty physical. The blue team, they wanted to win, and whether Rob said it or not, steel curtain on defense. 0 touchdowns today they gave up.
Yeah, we shut them out. 21-0. We shut them out 21-0. And they, I mean, yeah, I'm playing this game having fun. I'm competitive, but I'm not, like, going to go crazy and go all out. And like,
was there anybody there that was just, like, crazy?
Yes,
like,
a lot.
Everybody?
Ryan, you can attest to this. It was a lot of people Super Bowl.
This was, like, the Phillies winning the World Series, the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, and the Flyers winning the Stanley Cup all in one day. Like, this was it for them. This was their moment to shine, and they went home losers today.
Absolutely.
Rob did mention that you managed to keep him hydrated very well today.
You know what? He hired me to be his personal water boy, and I took very good pride in that. And I was the assistant to the offensive coordinator. So.
Oh, there you go.
You know what the game-winning play was?
It was a hook and lateral.
Sweep.
Oh, it was the sweep. Yeah, that's right. We did. We ran a sweep. We ran a hook and lateral for a touchdown. It was a lot of fun. NRG charity game. Check out NRG and all the stuff that they do. They're pretty cool. Pretty awesome. Guys, tonight we're going to have Eagles guard Stefan Wisniewski on. He's going to be our guest. And we spoke to Steph at the event that we had with Carson Wentz. And it was Carson, it was Steph, and Trey Burton all came out to Eastern University. And that was September 6th. First week of September.
Yeah.
And we've had, you know, the interview with Carson. We had the interview with Trey. And we held off on the interview with Steph, and we're going to use it tonight. And he said a lot of insightful things. So we look forward to bringing that to you in the next segment. Also, we're going to talk to Bryce Johnson, who is the host of the Unpacking It radio show. So both of those guys will join us later on in the show. And I had an opportunity to be a guest on Bryce's show earlier in the summer and really enjoyed that experience as well. So it's Halloween week, and what I want to do is have some fun with Halloween and talk about it from a Christian perspective, because There's a lot of questions, and Pastor Phil can help us answer some of those. I know there's some things that I've wondered about, and I'm sure if I'm wondering about it and I'm questioning it, other people are questioning it too. But faith aside, I was never a fan of Halloween. I hate horror movies. I don't like them at all, not even a little bit. Never. I would never watch a horror movie of any kind. I don't understand the point of scaring people, and I really don't understand the point of scaring little kids. I don't think that's cool to scare little kids, to put fear into little kids. I don't like those gory costumes. I don't believe in ghosts and witches and all that nonsense. So that's just my point on Halloween from a personal perspective. Now, when I look at it and try and examine it from the Christian viewpoint, there's a lot of question marks, and I don't think it's okay to glorify evil. My girls go to a Christian nursery school. Your girls went to as well, Doug.
Yeah,
and tomorrow is Halloween, and they have class, and they don't celebrate Halloween. I never really asked why they don't, but I get it. And I think a lot of that too now is you can't take certain foods and certain candies and certain stuff in and give it out because who's allergic to what.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that becomes a big thing. I know some churches do trunk or treat or some variation of it. So I don't think it's wrong. I'm not going to tell you it's wrong. It's not my place to tell you it's wrong. Yeah, I think that's a cool community building type of activity, but I think it's important to let your children know that you don't believe in witchcraft or any of that weird stuff. But if you want to let them have harmless fun with it, it's my girls put on their favorite Disney princess costume and they go out and they enjoy it and they just have some fun. I end up throwing out like their candy because Remy and I are weird like that. So we'll substitute it. Ryan, we'll bring it out. I'll save it for you.
Yeah. Ryan's getting hooked up. So you got some people donate their candy, so they look for other charities so you could actually take all your candy
take,
and actually donate it. Yeah.
People take that stuff.
So Ryan's charity. He's getting excited. But yeah, you know what? We actually have, you know, our kids go out also, so we enjoy it. We get together with family, friends, and they dress up and we walk around. We live in a townhouse. Mm-hmm. So the neighborhood's kind of close. So you get just house right away. And so it's like you get, you know, for your time period, you hit a lot of houses. So
I think there is a factor where it is a bit of a community event. Right. It can be done that way. I think it's one of the ways that we practice it. And so there were times where we didn't, Rob. And then one of the things I've encouraged our kids to do is be careful. We don't necessarily have them dress up in some kind of evil costume or something like that. I think one of the dangers of it is whenever we caricature evil, like someone dresses up like the devil or like demons, it makes us think that for a moment they're not real, right? That in some way that caricature makes us feel that Satan is less real, and yet the Bible describes him as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So the scriptures make it clear that these are real persons, not make-believe persons in some way.
That's interesting. Did you and Kim ever have a hesitation with the kids going out trick-or-treating?
We did early on, and I think some of our older kids are saying, hey, how come you changed your standard a little later? And we just changed our standard to say, listen, you want to dress up like a superhero or a dinosaur, cool.
Okay.
But as far as dressing up in some form of evil attire, we don't want to act like that's a fake person, because Satan, the demons, those are real characters. They're real persons.
And so
the Bible teaches that, but also you see that in the very nature of evil that we see in the world all around. That just isn't a matter of someone coming up with an idea. There actually is an evil force behind
that. So let me ask you a question, Rob. Do you guys separate? Obviously, we were talking about Halloween dressing up. What about like Easter? You know, you have the Easter Bunny, you have Santa Claus, you have kind of these other, you know, make-believe characters that are out there. You know, your kids are getting older. Do you subscribe to that? Do you talk to your kids about Santa Claus?
Yeah,
or get pictures
of
Santa Claus?
I never we did one with the Easter Bunny, but we could talk about this closer to Easter. What bothers me about the celebration of Easter is it should have nothing to do with an Easter bunny.
Correct.
Or collecting eggs or chocolate. It's about the greatest day in our history, the resurrection of Christ. But people take that and you got to make it into a commercial thing with the Easter Bunny. And then the same with Christmas and Santa Claus. So we make sure our girls, and they're four, we make sure they know about Santa Claus. But what we do on Christmas Eve, and we started this little family tradition, is that we get a cake with the nativity scene on it.
Okay.
And we write "Happy Birthday, Jesus." So they know we're celebrating the birth of Christ, and they're having a piece of cake to celebrate Jesus' birthday. So it's not about Santa or the gifts that they're getting.
So here's the dilemma, because your girls are only four, right? Mm-hmm. Both your girls. So we didn't feel that it was right to ever tell our girls that Santa existed and then someday tell them that yeah. he didn't exist, right? So we kind of subscribed to that. You know, we kind of said, oh, yeah, Santa Claus, he's fake, and we went through that.
You told them right off the bat.
Yeah, we just decided that that's best, and I think both Chris and I just agreed on that. But here's the problem. They go to school, and then they're like, yeah, my parents told me that Santa Claus isn't real.
I know.
You know, and then so that's the hardest challenge.
I got in trouble for that in first grade.
You did?
Because I didn't believe.
Well, where do your girls get out there?
I didn't believe in Santa, and I remember my first grade teacher saying, you better keep that to yourself. Don't tell anybody. So I never.
That's a big deal.
I never believed.
It's kind of like everybody can believe what they want to believe, but don't ruin it for somebody else.
I just think, I think, you know, you want to be careful that none of those elements distract us from really the purpose of those particular holidays. I think one of the challenges of Halloween is, and we talked about this earlier, it falls on what we know as Reformation Day, which is a really significant day in church history, particularly this year because it's the 500th anniversary. And there were really amazing things that happened and really tremendous sacrifices that happened. Sometimes we're drawn away from that by some of the other stuff that goes on.
I want to talk a little bit, and I want to get back to that, Pastor Phil. I want to talk about the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. I'm not going to profess to know all there is to know about Halloween and the roots to Halloween. And so I had to do some research for it. And I know this, that hallow means holy. And the een part meant evening, so it's Holy Evening, apparently. And I've always heard about All Hallows Eve. I've read that it says Halloween has its roots in the ancient, that's Celtic, right? Tribes of Iceland, of Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and that they would celebrate the festival of, I hope I'm not butchering this word, Samhain.
Yeah,
and during this festival, it says that they believe the souls of the dead, ghosts, goblins, and witches would return and mingle with the living in order to scare away evil spirits, and people would wear masks and light bonfires to scare them away.
Yeah, so again, I think that has to deal with how they were believing it. I think if you were to ask any 7-year-old child who's walking down the street looking for some candy, they wouldn't be able to articulate that history. So I think it's a good reminder that what we believe matters, Rob, and why we do what we do matters. If we were teaching that to our children, listen, because I think the understanding was, as the days shortened, they felt that the ghosts got closer to where the existing living, the dead got closer to where the living were. And of course, there's no case for that at all, either in history or in the scripture. You know, it doesn't work like that in the expression of the Bible.
Yeah, well, don't forget, like, what it really comes down to. It's marketing. It's about money.
Yeah.
Right? You know, when you look at Valentine's Day, how much those cards are. You know, like, it's like I'm paying $8 for a card, right? So Chris and I have a really good philosophy on that. It's like, let's go out to dinner as opposed to buying cards for each other, right? I mean, you get half.
I hope you're taking her someplace for better than $8.
Well, you know, you're just going to contribute to it. Maybe that's you're getting dessert that night, right? So
get some construction paper and make your own card. You know, go to dollar store, get the pen, just make your own card.
All right, I don't know if she's listening or not. Aubrey has ballet tonight, but you know what I did one year? I didn't buy a card and I wrote her a letter, and she's like, that was the cheapest thing I've ever seen. So it was the worst thing. So I did that one time. I will never do that again. So I don't know if she's listening right now, but if she is, you know, I've apologized for that also. So it was kind of a cheap way out.
Did the statute of limitations, though, expire on her anger?
It was a long time ago. Yeah, no, but it just still comes up. I can't do that again. So just be careful with that. But
I want to tell you about growing up and going to Catholic schools, what Halloween meant to us, because we loved Halloween because the next day is considered in the Catholic calendar a holy day of obligation. November 1st is All Saints Day, so we had off for All Saints Day, so we would get to go out for Halloween and just really go from I lived in South Philly, so it was like the row home kind of thing. We'd go house to house to house, and there would be some people who would scare us and all that stuff, but we would get quite a haul of candy, have the next day to celebrate it. But and then on November 2nd, the Catholic Church celebrated All Souls Day. So I want to take this conversation into false idols and false gods. And I wonder, if one, Pastor Phil, let me know your thoughts on this. Does celebrating Halloween in some ways border on having false gods and false idols?
Well, I would say that, again, it all comes back to what you believe. And that's why I would really see, when the Bible doesn't speak definitively of something, then I would just encourage people to consider it as an act of conscience. In other words, if the Spirit of God is convicting you about it, then don't celebrate it. But when it comes to false gods, the Bible talks an awful lot about that. And the idea of idolatry captures itself clear back in the Old Testament as well. I think when you're thinking of an idol, you're really thinking, Rob, of something that your confidence or trust is in, like a real God. Wherever your trust is, wherever your confidence is, we're only supposed to have that level of dependence on God, not in something else that we're putting there.
That's a perfect setup for my next question. And what I'm going to say, growing up, again, in the Catholic Church, in Catholic schools, and November 1st being All Saints Day, and I'm a guy who, and I told you guys before the show, I have four tattoos, and they're all Catholic symbols. Mm-hmm. Okay, one of them is Jesus on my chest. I have this symbol for the Holy Spirit, the dove, on my thigh. I have the Sacred Heart, which is, and the three crosses that represent Jesus and the two thieves. Mm-hmm. And my first tattoo ever was Saint Christopher. So Saint Christopher is the patron saint. He's known for protection and keeping you safe. So I would wear, you know, you can imagine young Rob in South Philly with all the gold chains, right?
That's
and
right.
One of them was the St. Christopher's medal, this big giant St. Christopher's medal. It was my favorite thing.
I need a picture or two of that really to see that, Rob.
So I could probably find one, right? So
Remy will post it on the Facebook Live.
Please don't, right? Babe. She didn't know me back then. She would have shied away from me at that point. So what happened is at one point, you know, wearing gold wasn't really that cool. So, you know, I was like, all right, I was ready for it. Actually, no, this was my second tattoo. Jesus was my first one. I said, all right, I'm going to get St. Christopher tattooed right here. So this way, I got the protection all the time, right? And obviously, if this is the first time you're listening to me and you don't know my story and my testimony, I grew up thinking that you were saved by works and you earned your way to heaven. And I finally realized in right around 2010, August 29, 2010, is when I accepted Christ and I understood the meaning of being saved by grace. So now I look back at these symbols that I have, and then to center it on the Saint Christopher, I've always wondered if praying. You know, I no longer pray to Saint Christopher for protection. I talk to Jesus 24/7. He's my BFF. He's my go-to, because I understand you go directly to Jesus. But you know, there's still the praying to Saint Anthony when you lose something. There's the praying to Saint Francis is the saint for animals. So
we moved a couple years ago. Somebody, what's the saint that helps you move?
I'm not up on it anymore. Saint Michael for firemen and for policemen. So there's you Google it, right, you will find a saint for just about anything.
Oh, they said you get a little statue and they sell it and you bury it in your yard like backwards or facing away from the house.
Is that right?
And then you'll sell your house. So somebody was mentioned that.
I hope you didn't do it. Did you do it?
No, I didn't do it.
Until
like
you
I said,
hesitated.
No.
You're like, but they, so my question though is. And Pastor Phil, you know, Christianity is all about having a relationship with Christ. We could talk directly to our Savior. We don't need the go-between. We don't need the saint to intercede on our behalf. Is that, in a way, praying to saints, can that be considered honoring false idols?
Well, I think it depends, again, Rob, in where your faith is and where your dependence is. When someone's actually looking at that and engaging that way, I would say, yeah, that is the case. You know, you are depending on something other than what you're than the opportunity that you can depend upon the Lord. I go back to this verse in 1 Timothy 2:5 where it says, "For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." I didn't grow up Catholic, but I wonder sometimes if people think it's easier to reach them than it is to reach Christ because they were maybe a little bit more like me than Christ was like me.
Well, that was a question I posed to one of my friends when I was in college because he came from a Catholic family and he would say that he would pray to Mary or some of the saints. And so I asked him one day because we had a great relationship and I said, hey, you know, why do you do that? I just really didn't know. And we had a great relationship to the point where literally you could have that conversation and it's not going to turn into anything else. It's truly like, hey, I'm not familiar with this. So, you know, what do you, and his response to me at that time was, well, I pray to Jesus too. Right. And but it's also almost a secondary piece that, hey, if I could pray to Jesus, I might as well pray to the saints and Mary for a little extra help also.
And I would just say again, that shows the shift in dependence, though, doesn't it?
A little bit,
Doug, I think where our faith is, our faith needs to be fully there in Christ and Christ alone. And that's really just the way that the scriptures portray it.
How about superstition? Because sometimes I really think my superstition is probably pretty powerful. I know this is another show, but you know, we'll hit that. I'm just going to plug it in there, we'll leave that for another show.
We'll come back. We'll have this Steph Wisniewski interview. Then later on, we'll also get into a little bit more of what can be false idols, whether it's career, whether it's your superstitions, whatever it is. We'll do that as well when we come back. You are listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
If you shake hands with difference makers around the world, you'll meet alumni from Eastern University in every profession. Our courageous graduates are CEOs, mayors, social entrepreneurs, and Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year finalists. What makes the difference? Eastern alums have been shaped by a powerful combination of academic excellence, Christian values, and professors who truly care. Join our influential community online in Center City or on the main line. Visit eastern.edu/courage.
Hi, I'm Rob Motti. Every day you listen to the news, but how is that news affecting your financial world? Will an upswing in Asia affect your retirement investments? Will a drought halfway around the world dry up your income? You might not feel the immediate effects of every world event, but you do need to keep a close eye on your finances in these times of change. Rick Santella can help you do that.
Thanks, Rob. Hi, I'm Rick Santella, a financial advisor with Morgan Stanley. I'm right here in the Philadelphia region, and I have more than 35 years of experience and the resources to help you keep moving forward. Asset allocation, retirement planning, wealth management, these are all areas I can help you stay on top of.
To make an appointment with Rick, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meeting with Rick Santella could be the most important event of your day.
Asset allocation does not guarantee a profit or protect against a loss. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
MedCorp's Asthma and Pulmonary Specialists is a privately owned group located in Turnersville and Linwood, New Jersey. Online, they are MedCorpUSA.com. Dr. Sylvie and his staff can diagnose and treat disorders of the lungs. Asthma, especially asthma caused by allergies, COPD, chronic bronchitis, pneumonia, pulmonary hypertension, shortness of breath, and chronic cough. They also treat sleep problems like restless leg syndrome and sleep apnea. Treating sleep apnea has become a huge part of their practice. They have 10 home sleep tests that test for sleep apnea. Testing is recommended if some of the following pertain to you. Someone has told you that you stop breathing while you sleep. You snore loudly and frequently. You wake up choking or gasping. You wake up with headaches, sore throat, or dry mouth. You experience insomnia, unrefreshing sleep, daytime sleepiness or fatigue, difficulty concentrating, memory loss, irritability. You are drowsy while you are driving. You are frequently waking up to use a bathroom. You have a large neck size, 17 inches for men and 16 inches for women. You have a family history of sleep apnea. Call MedCorp's Asthma and Pulmonary Specialists at 856-352-6572. That's for their Turnersville office, and 609-788-8953 for their Linwood office.
Back to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton, Pastor Phil Moser, sitting in for Kyle Horner on vacation. I was almost going to say I got it wrong. Kyle's having a good time where he is, and we're in here. We're doing the work. We're doing our job. And, guys, back in September, you remember our phenomenal event we had at Eastern University, and 2,000 people. People are still talking about how all those people came out in the rain to see Carson Wentz, Trey Burton, and Steph Wisniewski. And, three brothers in Christ among a team that's really filled with the Spirit. Steph had some very insightful answers to some of the questions. So we want to share his thoughts with you tonight. His interview is brought to you by Rick Santella of Morgan Stanley. My first question, I'm asking him and the players about their prayer habits, what they do and how they go about it. And this is what Steph had to say.
just talking about prayer, and it's a discipline. A lot of these things, studying the Word, it's a discipline. It takes effort and really setting your mind. And for me, prayer is kind of resetting my mind on God, taking my mind off of just temporary things that I can see and setting it on an eternal God. My favorite verse on mindset is Romans 8:5. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." I love that because we got a lot of choices in this world, but ultimately there's really just two. I can choose the flesh and the things of the flesh, or I can choose the Spirit and things of the Spirit. And as far as prayer habits, I think most important prayer I say every day is the first one I say in the morning. Because when I wake up, my mind's not necessarily always thinking about Jesus first thing when I wake up. In fact, my default setting is flesh, and that's really the way we're all wired. If you think of it like pushing a shopping cart, you ever get that shopping cart that's like always dragging right? My shopping cart's always dragging toward flesh. That's the nature I have, but the Spirit can change that. And if I set my mind on Christ, that nature of the flesh dies, but it's something I got to redo throughout the day. But I got to start with it at the beginning of the day. But like Carson said, we've been talking about, it's something I got to reset throughout the day, because my mind's going to wander. And but resetting it through prayer, just remembering who God is, that He loves me, and that keeps me straight and following Him.
There's a misconception that if you're a Christian, you're soft, you're timid, you're not aggressive. But that's not really what God intended for us. He wanted us to be strong. He wanted us to be aggressive. These guys are football players, so you're fearless warriors. We also have to maintain that balance of honoring God. How do you do that? How do you maintain that balance?
Is that for somebody in particular?
Any one of you who wants to take that.
Yeah, I mean, if you read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, like there's warriors, right? I mean, David is called a man after God's heart. David's a warrior. He's in battle. He's literally fighting for the kingdom of God physically. We fight in a different way than he did back then, but God loved David. He loved David's heart. David was a passionate warrior. And when we talk about Jesus, the Bible says Jesus is the lion and the lamb. And certainly the lamb is an important part of who Jesus is. And we're called to be Christ-like, so we're called to both be lions and lambs. But Christ, he did surrender his life as a lamb, but he's also the lion, and he's king of the world, and he reigns, and he rules, and he's a lion that there's no lion tamer that can handle Christ, and we have him living in us. And so as Christians, honestly, on a football field, I feel like it's an unfair advantage, because we got the eternal God inside of us, fighting through us, fighting with us. And yeah, there's a time where we're called to act like lambs, but there's also a time to be lions and be fierce and be bold for Christ.
And that is Eagles guard Stefan Wisniewski. That interview is brought to you by Rick Santella of Morgan Stanley. First thing I want to dive into, guys, the Romans 8:5 verse that he brings up, Pastor Phil and Doug. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Tell me about that.
Well, yeah, I think one of the things that, you know, I like that translation you render better, because it talks about the fact that our flesh is our desires. So sometimes people might say, what does it mean by flesh? And I think it's our desires to act only for ourselves and not for Christ. So I think that's an important understanding of it. I think it's also significant, Rob, to understand that what we develop habits for, that's where we're going to go. So when we're developing these habits only for self, it's going to be hard to break the habit and really live for the Spirit or in the Spirit's power.
That's a great analogy that he gave. You know, I'm always veering towards the left. I'm always veering towards
the shopping cart, he said.
The flesh, yeah, the shopping cart. Right? And I found that personally years ago when, you know, I heard the thing that you think about first thing in the morning and the thing you think about last before you go to bed is really what's consuming your heart, consuming your mind, and in theory is becoming your idol.
Yeah, right? I would probably just add another thought quickly to it, and that's this. You know, I heard Carson interviewed, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and he expressed that this year he was playing so much better because the game had slowed down for him. And I was thinking about that. That is such a great metaphor for how we learn to walk in the Spirit. When we are doing these habits, whether it's anger, whether it's sexual temptation, whether it's self-pity, whether it's putting something off or anxiety, whenever we're doing those habits, we need to slow the game down to start to live by the Spirit. I just think that's a great image and a great picture.
Yeah, and when you say that, Doug, also when you were talking about what you veer off to and what you're learning and what you're putting your mind into and what you're thinking about last thing at night and first thing in the morning, these are what become our false idols. These are the things that if we're spending so much time on, it's taking away from where our focus should be. It's taking away from our relationship with Christ. How much time do we really devote to, you know, I say this all the time, and I'm guilty of it. I say, I talk to Christ all day long, 24/7. But do I actually sit down away from everyone, away from the busyness of life, away from the TV, the phone, my children, and everything else, and work, and the laptop, and the computer, and just focus? 5 minutes even, 10 minutes. Because it's easy to say, oh, I just read my Bible app. I'm following this little plan here. I'm reading this. I'm checking this out. I'm listening to sermons in the car. But am I talking directly and having that conversation?
I'm guilty of that too, Rob. I think that you just go through, whether you're listening to Christian radio, you're listening to songs, you're listening to a podcast, but really that's the intentional time. You know, and if you go back to our other interviews that we had with Trey Burton and Carson Wentz, we did some shows with them where you can hear their interviews. They're on iTunes, so you can check those out at any time. But each one of them was very intentional about how they led their prayer life, that each day that they really focused in. And the really cool thing at this point is that you're seeing that come to life on the field. You're getting media members that are talking about it. So I think that it's just super important that we're intentional about where we put our mind.
Guys, what we're going to do now is go to our next guest, and we're going to bring him in and get a little bit of his perspective and see what he's doing too, because he's also doing a show about sports, about faith, and about life. So we want to welcome Bryce Johnson to Faith on the Field show. Bryce is the host of the syndicated Unpacking It radio show, and as I just said, it's a show about sports, faith, and life. Bryce, welcome to our show. I really appreciated joining you back in August, and thank you for returning the favor and coming on tonight.
Oh man, pumped to be with you guys, and man, it was a fun weekend of football, but I gotta say, I'm down here in Charlotte. We're still bummed about the big Thursday night loss to you guys and the Eagles, so that was tough.
Yeah, well, you know what though, the way they're set up, Bryce, it might be a rematch somewhere down the line in the playoffs. It could be second round, it could be NFC championship game. So hey, you know what, if it's NFC championship game, we're gonna have to figure out something to do where maybe we do a joint show somehow, or
there you go.
We come down there, or at this point the Eagles
coming up here,
yeah,
right?
Eagles are gonna have home field advantage. Bryce, tell us a little bit about your show.
Yeah, so basically we've been around since 2012, and each week we take a look at some of the biggest topics in sports, and while doing so we also talk about faith, and so we've got the opportunity to interview guys like you do as well, and we really unpack their life and who they are, what they're about, what they're passionate about. Really enjoy talking to current players and what they're going through throughout the season, but also love talking to guys who have retired, who have transitioned away from sports, and what God is doing in their life at this point. And so just some of the cool stories over the year have been just so encouraging to me, and what's so fun about just unpacking the lives of people, period, but also athletes and coaches that I respect and grew up watching or continue to watch now. It's neat to hear how God has changed their life and what he's teaching them in the moment and what they're studying. And I tell you what, as I talk to them, I'm always encouraged. I'm always challenged. And I know that that's the same for listeners. And so, it's unpacking it, and we unpack sports, faith, and life each week.
Is there a recent interview that you did, or maybe one over the past 6 months to a year, where it really had an impact on the way, not necessarily that you view the player, but just kind of changed your perspective on anything?
Yeah, so there's a former long snapper for the Seattle Seahawks named Clint Gresham. and he's now he's written a book and he's going around speaking, but it was a he spoke on kind of the process of healing and going through tough times and at the time I was actually going through a lot personally, very sadly my wife and I had a miscarriage, and so I was just in this season of life where I was really just seeking the Lord and trying to understand things, and Clint came on the show and was talking all about his book and talked about the high of winning the Super Bowl and then the low of losing the Super Bowl and just kind of what that does. And then also he talked about what it's like to get cut from a football team and to get that call from the GM and to say, hey, you're done. And so he was just kind of explaining all the tough times he's been through. And so I was able to just relate in my own life and what I was going through in that moment. So that was a really cool interview, Clint Gresham. And so that was one that stood out to me. And then another guy that just is such an encouragement to me, even when I watch him Thursday night on Inside the NBA, but it's Ernie Johnson. Mm-hmm. And he's my favorite guest that I've ever had on my show. Sorry, Rob, you're right up there. But
hey, as long as I'm the top 10, I'm happy.
That's right. But Ernie, man, he just who he is and what he represents on TV and the type of dad and husband that he is, he's always a great encouragement as well.
Hey, Clint. Hey,
Bryce,
sorry. Sorry, I'm looking down at Clint's name here. That's what happens when I'm not on the show for a few months, Rob. Hey, I just got a quick question for you in this. Pastor Phil here. When you mentioned Clint's story, how much of Clint's impact in that story was because you were presently going through something similar? Like, I sometimes think that that our ears are attuned to somebody's story differently when we ourselves are experiencing the same pain or have experienced it.
Absolutely. And that was the situation for me. And I think that's what's so important about just sharing each other's stories, whether it's on the radio, but even over lunch and just being transparent and vulnerable and actually sharing, hey, this is what I went through. This is what I learned. This is how God changed me. And the more that we do that and just day to day in our lives, like even at church, we have a video that plays every week where somebody's sharing their testimony and story. And, mm-hmm. and I tell you what, it's as powerful as anything that takes place during the service. It really is, because you can see the evidence of God in somebody's life. And so when I'm interviewing guys and they're sharing, you know, some weeks it's more impactful on me personally. But then on the other weeks, I know that somebody else can identify with what that person is sharing about. And this past week I interviewed Dave Pasch, and he works for ESPN and travels around the country doing play-by-play, and he was explaining how he has brought in a woman and her daughter in kind of a situation where they were having a tough time in life, and so Dave and his family brought these two women into their home to help take care of them. And so just that idea of whether it's being a foster parent or adopting or just caring for people, you know, you can relate to those types of stories. And so that's what's so neat about what we're doing at Unpacking It and what you guys are doing with Faith on the Field.
Mm-hmm. Bryce, tonight we're talking about, because Halloween is this week, we're talking about the idea that sometimes Halloween can tend to be a celebration of things that may lead to false idols. But sports can be a false idol for so many of us because we spend so much time watching sports, paying attention to sports, whether it's fantasy sports, whether it's just the games. What is your perspective? And how do you balance doing things like your career, trying to do the best that you can at your job, and then trying to make sure that doesn't take over and become a false idol for you?
Man, it's all about perspective and where our heart is. And so we'll start with Halloween. What is our reason for celebrating Halloween? And we got to look, you know, inward and answer that question. For me, my wife and I are having my parents over for dinner, and we're going to hand out candy to the kids in the neighborhood. But you know what it is? It's an opportunity for me to hang out with my parents. You know, life gets busy, and weeks go by, months go by, and I'm not spending a lot of time with my parents, even though they live, you know, in town with me. So it's an opportunity to get together. For other situations and for kids, it's an opportunity to be with the kids in the neighborhood, and you have fun, and you enjoy it. It's an opportunity to eat candy, you know, all those things. But when Halloween becomes an opportunity to stir up the evil of the world and to stir up darkness and to kind of go all in on kind of the, you know, the witchcraft side of things and to dress up as Satan and stuff, like that's pretty serious stuff. There's an evil world. And so to spend that day kind of going all in on that's dangerous. It definitely can be. And so I think it comes down to just the approach to it. But I recently, in the last couple of months, I listened to a sermon by Kyle Eidelman out in Kentucky, and they were doing a series on what it means to celebrate. And as Christians, we should be people that celebrate life, that, of course, celebrate what Jesus has done, but just to have this spirit of joy and fun, and we should be as enjoyable to be around as anybody on the block. And so on Halloween, yeah, we can stand out, we can be different, and the way that we celebrate can be recognizable in the way that we love people and the way that we interact with the kids that come to our door or how we interact with people as we're walking around the neighborhood. That's where the opportunity is to shine. But to just turn off our lights and say, forget about it, I'm not doing Halloween, that's an evil holiday, I think we're missing out on an opportunity. But if we can bring the light into the day and represent Jesus even in something like that, I think that's what life is about, not just on Halloween, but in all circumstances. Even going to a game on Sunday and being in the crowd, we can be a light. We can be different as a sports fan. We can still cheer for our team and stand up and be fun to be around, but we can stand out because we're not the ones, you know, yelling profanities and getting into it with the visiting fans and all that sort of thing. So I could go all day, but there's at least a few thoughts.
That's an awesome perspective, man. I really appreciate that. And we are right up against the break. Bryce, I want you to tell everybody how they can listen to Unpacking It, if you could tell us how we can reach that radio show.
Definitely. So Unpacking It is actually a ministry for sports fans. And so the website is unpackingit.com. We've got the radio show, podcast. We also have devotionals each day. We do events as well. And so if you're a sports fan who wants to follow Jesus or is following Jesus, check out unpackingit.com.
That is Bryce Johnson, the host of Unpacking It. We really appreciate your time, Bryce. And hey, let's talk in the playoffs when it's Eagles, Carolina Panthers going at it. All right.
I love it. Sounds great. I got family in Philly, so shout out to my family up there. But thanks for having me on.
Awesome, man. Appreciate it. And that's Bryce Johnson taking a few minutes to join us on Faith on the Field show. Guys, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about false idols, because we did have some different perspectives on some things that, you know, I want to know. How do you balance things? And at what point do you try to sense that this is taking over my life? This is going to be something that's heading me in the direction that I really shouldn't go down. But I really appreciated his perspective on how you can be that light in certain things like that. And before we go, I do want to share this. Pastor Scott Foreman from Fellowship Bible, he told me, he said, I'm not sure if it was his mom or grandmom, but for Halloween, she would give out candy, chocolate, whatever it is, and just attach a little Bible verse to it. And I thought that, you know what, that's really cool, because that's a way, you know, you participate in the festivities, the celebration of it, and you still manage to somehow get Jesus into it.
Yeah, some people might just give out tracts.
Yeah.
But then people are like, oh, they're not even candy.
They're going to be that house nobody wants to go to.
Nobody goes to the house. They're like, don't go there.
Attach a little piece of chocolate to it. Yeah,
and
I'm big on giving out the chocolate. I don't like to give out the candy. I want to give out the chocolate. So you got to give out the good stuff, too, make people want to come back.
Do you give out the big bars?
No, but we give out I give out stuff that I like to eat. You know what I mean?
You go chocolate instead of gummies?
Yeah, like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Kit Kats I love, Snickers bars. I like the Snickers Almond. Yeah, good stuff. You got to give out. I don't want no candy. And my girls are they understand if they see candy, they just throw it.
See, we go gummy. We have two bags of Airheads to give out. So that's what we're going with. So
it's bad for the teeth, man. It's bad.
Nah, the kids love it.
All right, when we come back, we'll get into it a little bit more. You are listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
Dan Higgins Wood Flooring is the number one retailer of wood flooring in South Jersey. They have the best and most popular brands, including Bruce, Armstrong, Mirage, Johnson, Mercier, and more. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring has better pricing and service for flooring than the big box stores. Plus, you would be supporting a local business in the community since 1985. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring provides support for your do-it-yourself project, including expert advice and free equipment rental. Contractors can bring their customers to Dan Higgins Wood Flooring showrooms in Medford and Sicklerville. Special discounts are available for contractors and builders. They offer free local job site delivery and installation services are also available. Check out their website at danhiggins.com or call Dan Higgins Wood Flooring at 609-953-7766.
Fall's around the corner, and what a fantastic time with football after church on Sundays and the incredible spectrum of leaves showing off a vibrant display of colors. It's also a perfect time of year to be aware of what your trees are telling you. Did you know that trees can talk to you? Example, if a tree is showing poor growth, it is making you aware that it has impacted soils or it could be suffering from improper planting techniques. Tree Awareness in Swedesboro, New Jersey has a 5-point health and wellness check that can accurately diagnose exactly what your tree is telling you. In this case, it would remedy the situation with root mulching, root invigoration, root pruning, or perhaps even root crown excavation. There's only one way to know for sure what your tree is making you aware of. Call the Tree Awareness Experts at 888-429-TREE. That's 888-429-8733 and check them out at treeawareness.com for the life of your trees.
Guys hate to admit it, but sometimes things can start to feel a little out of control. We procrastinate, we battle with anger, and we start to worry about our finances. But we're here to help. At Biblical Strategies, we've spent over 20 years helping people begin to think about life with the help that God offers. Contact us for resources that can begin to help you today. Go to biblicalstrategies.com. Biblicalstrategies.com.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University 610 Sports. ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Phil Moser in for Kyle this week. And Pastor Phil brought me some goodies, too.
You finally got it.
I finally got it.
Since September, right?
These are awesome. Look at these t-shirts. Faith on the Field show. Huh? Look at that. Our new logo, our new colors. You got to love all of our new...
And I love the episodes in the back. That's really cool.
Now, that's 20 episodes in. Is that where we stopped
that? Yeah,
we're up
to Adam Wainwright.
That was 20. Now we're up to episode 29. And as Doug had said earlier, if you missed any of our previous episodes, you can catch up on iTunes, subscribe on Faith on the Field. You can download and listen at your convenience. Last week, we had Jason Tatum on. Of course, we had Carson Wentz on, Adam Wainwright. Right, Mike Schmidt, Clayton Kershaw in the middle of this World Series.
That's right.
We had him on, Coach Dabo Swinney, Deshaun Watson. Who? How about this? Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz are tied for the NFL lead with 19 touchdowns. What do they have in common? Both guests on Faith on the Field.
So we're not having on Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson.
Nobody else.
Drew
like
Brees,
that.
They're not on yet. Maybe after the season.
And they can also follow us, faithonthefieldshow.com, and we're also on Instagram on Faith on the Field show.
Yep.
Faith on the Field show on Instagram, and you can like our Facebook page. I want to talk a little bit more in depth about the idea of false idols. And Doug, you mentioned the period in your life when fantasy sports was... Fantasy baseball was a false idol for you. How did you navigate that, and at what point, you know, how long was it dominating your life, and how did you just get through it and realize, hey, I got to give this up?
Yeah, I'd probably say it was like 3 years. But here's the funny thing.
That's most 3 years.
Well, it started building, but here's the thing. We weren't even playing for money.
That blows my mind.
This was just a bunch of friends. And for the most part, you know, Jimmy Henderson was my roommate in college, and he was working at Eastern. I was at Valley Forge, and it was kind of one of those things. We teamed up. Do you ever do a fantasy team with
Never.
Somebody?
No.
So I did that with my buddy Martin. We did baseball before.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an opportunity to hang out. So it was good. There was good intentions with that. But we got so competitive because it was amongst friends that I was getting up first thing in the morning, picking my phone up, checking the computer. Then I'm staying up late watching the fifth starter from Seattle, Oakland, you know, and like looking to Thursday's game to spot.
Trying to figure out who's going to get two starts
that week. I was getting like anxiety about it, and like I just wanted to win so bad. And with baseball,
did you ever win in that
period?
We did win.
Yeah.
How many times?
We actually did just once.
Okay.
But
did you feel all those minutes hours invested were well worth it?
When you win, it does. When you lose, you're kind of like, man, what am I going to do with all my time now? Right. So, but here's the thing. So I'm teaching a Sunday school class at Fellowship years ago, and we start talking about the same topic. We talk about idols and what, you know, comprises all of your energy, your thoughts, your mind, your time. And so we were like, all right, well, you guys got to get rid of them. And so they turned to me and they said, all right, Mr. Doug, what's yours? And I was like, wow. You know, at first, I remember thinking this. I did not want to admit because it didn't really matter to me. Yeah. But then I had to sit there, and I was like, it's fantasy baseball.
Wow.
Takes all my time. And they're like, so what are you going to do about it?
How old are these kids?
They were high school kids. Okay. It was actually Phil's daughter was in that class.
Nice.
Ashley was in the class. Yeah, so it was years ago.
I'll have to go back and ask her about
that.
She's what,
like 27 now, Phil?
Yeah, 24.
Yeah, getting older, right? But they said, but that was the convicting thing, and that's what did it. It was high school kids challenging me and saying, all right, well, if you identify that that's an idol in your life, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to keep it or are you not?
So even though it took you a few years, you were able to identify that. I question sometimes whether or not pursuit of your career goals.
That's a good question.
Putting so much time and effort, because Phil, you know, the Bible says, and I believe the verse is in Corinthians, whatever you do, work at it wholeheartedly. Right?
Colossians chapter 3. Yeah.
Okay. Paul.
But 1 Corinthians 10 says the same thing. Whether there's whatever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Do
so
all.
So there is this. Yeah. There is this idea. Yeah.
So my question is, you know, I do so many things. I come on here today and I'm talking about, all right, I had the Phillies, I had the Eagles, I'm preparing for this show, I got the NFL podcast I do, and there's all this stuff, and I got, you know, you worry about, you got a mortgage to pay, you got kids to feed, all these things that you have to worry about, and you know that you're doing it for the benefit of your family. But at what point do you cross that line and say, I'm investing so much time into work, into my career, into pursuits, because and then I'm still going above and beyond because I want to pursue different stories, different interviews, more. You know, you want to be the first person to sit down with this person.
You want to be the best that you can be. You want to be the best in your field, in your craft.
You want to break news. You want to get all that. So there's a lot of time in the media profession as a journalist where you spend a lot, and it's a lot of time invested, but you may not see the results right away. Okay. Mm-hmm. You may hang out and talk to people and work sources for weeks and weeks before you get the fruits of that. So I question and I wonder, at what point does that cross that line of making that a false idol?
Well, I think you have to wrestle with, Rob, what is your intention or your motive? Like, is it to be proclaimed or self-proclaimed as the best at who you are for your sake,
right,
or for the Lord's sake? Because once it's for the Lord's sake, something shifts. All of a sudden, these things are not in competition with each other. Being a good father is also important. Being a good husband is also important. Those things aren't in competition in the same way with one another when our intention is not about ourselves, but rather about whether or not we're giving glory to God in it. It helps me sometimes to go back and just kind of lay out my roles. So I like to say, if I lay out like a half a dozen of my roles, I'm a Christian first and foremost, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a pastor, I'm a learner, I'm a mentor. And then if I go and say, okay, what scriptures apply to those roles? Now I'm starting to think more carefully about where I'm giving all my time. And if I say, whoa, I'm giving all my time to my career role, which is being a pastor, then I have to say, I don't really think I'm living for the glory of God in these other areas. So I think you got to ask intentions first and then just evaluate some of the time that's involved.
That's what we did with the high school kids. And we asked them, you know, what are the priorities in your life? And all of them gave the Sunday school answer. It's God first, it's my family second, it's my friends third.
But write it down.
And
you would have said write it down and they'll show it to me.
And I'm last, right? And so then you kind of unpack it a little bit. You know, Bryce Johnson's on unpacking it. So we broke it down a little bit and we said, well, what's the reality? You know, and where does God really fit? So if you're not spending time in prayer, if you're not listening to Christian music, if God really doesn't have a place in your life over a period of days or weeks, then can you really proclaim him as number one?
See that, and that's where I'm glad you said that about, you know, listening. Only music I will listen to is Christian music. The only thing I will listen to that is not where I only watch a game if it's for work. If I need to know, this is NFL season, I need to know all the results. I need to know all the highlights. I need to know everything. So I'm breaking down watching all these games, but I don't sit there and watch television shows at all. I'd rather spend that time with my kids or listening to sermons. But it kills me when my children always, when they say, "Daddy, you're always working," mm-hmm. and we want to play. And you know, you can never satisfy children, because if you give them 15 minutes, they want an hour. If you spend 2 hours with them, you know, and you still have your family days. We did have a couple days. We went on a
storybook land.
That's where we went. Yeah, we did some trick or treating there, and we did a couple things, but. In their eyes, they always want you, and it just always. Whenever I hear you're always working, it hurts. It hurts a little bit mm-hmm. because you want to spend that time with your kids, and I wonder, you know, what am I doing? What are these? And I like how you presented it, Phil, as far as identifying your roles, and then asking yourself where. In each of these roles, am I glorifying God?
And I think, Rob, one of the ways you can also do is, Doug's right in this, you got to become more specific. So rather than just say, okay, I got certain idols or I don't think I have them, one of the challenges someone gave me years ago was they said, listen, Phil, write a journal that records every 15 minutes what you just did. And do that for 2 weeks.
I remember thinking
at the time exactly what you thought. I said, I don't even have the time to get done what I'm supposed to get done, let alone record the journal. And the guy said, if you will take me up on this challenge, you'll be surprised what happens. And I shared that with this guy who came to see me, who had some struggles in his life with his family time. And he came back. He was a businessman. He came back with all of his life put in an Excel spreadsheet. And he slid that thing across the table to me. And he said, look, I got to show you this. 80 hours spent at work. I spent 2 minutes with my children in 2 weeks. It was like, what? He said, I'm making changes today. He said, I had no idea. But see, you don't really know where those idols are until you get specific with the details and record some of the details.
I have a phenomenal wife that challenged me on it too, because she would see that I was taking more time and I was reading things. I'm like, I'm reading an article. And she would turn around to me and she goes, how much time do you spend on fantasy baseball? You know, reading articles, checking phones, doing whatever. I said, I don't know, maybe... At that time, maybe a couple hours, right? Just reading articles, reading on draft picks.
Every day?
Like, I knew guys in AAA, AA. Like, if you knew me back then, man, I would have been awesome to help you out. I would have been an awesome assistant.
You have such
but then she turned to me and she goes,
accepting wife.
Well,
she's a saint. Can we say
that? But here's what she said. She goes, did you read your Bible today?
It's a great question.
And I'm like, oh. Yeah. I was like, you don't understand. We're in the playoffs. No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. But that was convicting to me. So God put things in my life that I had to pay attention to. And I was like, you know what? I think he's trying to get my attention. And I had to make some changes. Because really, if I said no to that, then I was really saying no to God.
Can we do in the final 2 minutes a look at the Protestant Reformation, the 500 anniversary?
Yeah, maybe. But I can add one verse that I think kind of wraps everything up we've just said. There's this great verse in Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. That says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs.
That's a great
In other words, when you're thinking about these things that are so important to you, you're not considering that there is an extension of God's grace to the areas that we need to give ourselves to, like our family, like those other relationships. Yeah, sure, I can give you that in 60 seconds or less. One of the things about the Protestant Reformation that most people don't understand is that the scripture really wasn't available to the common man. Perhaps the most important thing that happened, Rob, was that there was only one Bible without printing presses in a town or in a church. Nobody could read it because it was in Latin.
Wow.
Whether you were in Germany or whether you were in England, you didn't have the Bible in your language. And one of the great sacrifices that men made, Martin Luther spent 5 years in a tower translating the Bible into German for his people. William Tyndale did the same thing for his people in England. One of the great things that happened was for the first time, the Bible made it into the language of the people. And those guys, it costs them. You know, William Tyndale's story is like a Harrison Ford running story, because the church at that stage was corrupt and the government was corrupt. So if you got a government that's corrupt and a church that's corrupt and they're working together, you got a lot of corruption.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So we're going back from a time where you even said this in church yesterday, that the Bible was chained to the pulpit, right?
There was only one Bible and it was in Latin. So they chained it to the pulpit so nobody had it. When William Tyndale said, I'm going to translate the Bible into English. When he said that back around the 1500s, he started that process. He said, I need money, and he could get the money, and he said, I need the government's authority. The government said, we're not going to do it. So he left England and went on the run. The first thing that happened was he translated the book of Matthew, and people came in to shut down the presses, and so he was on the run. For 9 years, he ran to Belgium, he ran to France, he ran to Hamburg, Germany, and every time he'd stop, he'd translate more of the Bible and he'd print it. And it was remarkable It was like a spy story. It was like Mission Impossible on the run. And in the end, he translated the entire Bible into English, and they captured him, and he was executed.
It's just so cool that that's what happened in the past, and now we have athletes coming on the show, tweeting Bible verses out that everybody can see. You know, they have 130,000 followers, and those people can see Bible verses now.
Really cool. That's my favorite part of the Reformation, is that these guys, it cost them their lives to basically get the Bible in our hands.
That's incredible. That wraps up another episode of Faith on the Field Show, the 29th. I want to say thank you to Eastern University, to Tree Awareness, to Rick Santella from Morgan Stanley, Dan Higgins Wood Flooring, Dr. Sylvie and MedCore Asthma and Pulmonary Specialist, Catalyst Outdoor. Thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman. Thank you to our wives, Remy, Chris, and Danielle, for Ryan Lennox back there, Doug Horton and Pastor Phil Moser. I'm Rob Motti reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.